Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Well, hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out again for a wonderful show today. Hey, just a quick reminder, check out our website, MoneyRipples.com, because, you know, just like this show, it's all about you. Like, how do you actually create the cash flow, the freedom, and the life that you want today so you can work because you want to, not because you have to? So excited to have you guys on today because we've got a great show, and this one's no exception. In fact, I'm bringing on a returning guest that I haven't had on for a few years now. So if you haven't gone back that far in my episodes, you're in luck because you get some great updated content from our guest, Amy Walker, today. So just tell you a little bit about my friend Amy here. I mean, Amy, she's a small business strategist. She's an international speaker, an executive business coach, and author. She's passionate about helping entrepreneurs create a business model that actually works, making you money, and doesn't take over your entire life. She believes that business can be a platform for creating positive change in the world. In fact, she's been featured on Fast Company, U.S. News, and World Report, CEO World Magazine. She's also married. She's got five boys that keep her busy out there in Georgia and loves driving her kids around and just talking about Star Wars and anything else that might be involved with business or family. So one thing from a personal note, too, on Amy is that, you know, I've known her for several years. In fact, she was one of the first people I really started to interact with as I launched my company, Money Ripples. And I'll tell you, when it comes to people that do business, I mean, Amy is very impressive, not just from her own personal business standpoint, but what she gets people's results to do. It's just incredible. So Amy, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me back, Chris. It's been a while and I am just excited to see your show, how it's taken off and it's growing and you're doing great things out in the world.
Yeah, we're loving it. We're having fun, aren't we?
Yes, that's the way business should be. Always be fun.
And you're about to hit your 6-year anniversary for your company too, aren't you?
I am. I always remember it because I was 6 weeks away from having baby boy number 5 when I launched. Uh-huh. And so the business turns 6 in November 1st, and then the baby turns 6 on December 18th. So
you gave birth to
I can
two
always remember
almost.
How old the company is. Yeah, it was. And it was a wild ride. I remember I did my first expert summit a week after we got home from the hospital. It was an online event. And we generated we went from 0 leads to 500 on our list within that first event. And it was literally a week after I got home from the hospital. I'll never forget that. It was wild. Glad I did it. But boy, timing. Sometimes I think God has a sense of humor with his timing when he's like, have a baby, start a business. All of these will work together. And you're going, really? But they did. And it's been wonderful.
Yeah. I was actually just talking to my wife, Adisa, about that recently. And she's saying, you know, I don't know how anybody does anything when that first year and they have a baby. Cause she's like, I know for me, like that whole entire year I had a kid, you know, or either kid was a blur, you know, she's like, launching a business would be just crazy to do.
Yeah, you know what's funny is it was kind of a blur, but actually all of my biggest leaps in business happened. They coincided with me having babies. Every big major change or pivot that I made that really transitioned my business to the next level happened when I was having baby. Now, I did have a lot of them, so I have 5 babies. So I guess that kind of makes sense. But it is interesting how that happened.
You're not planning on any more coming soon, are you?
Well, not through my body, but if the stork were to drop off some babies, I would not say no. I love being a parent. I just think being a parent is the coolest thing that we get to do. And so I definitely, I don't know. I can't have any more, but I wouldn't rule it out. You'll have to talk to my husband, Stephen, though, on that as to whether or not we're actually doing anything about that. But right. I'd take some more.
You know, and I know this isn't the topic of the show because I want to talk about some marketing mistakes that people make. And I know you've done a great job with marketing in your own business. But just, you know, kind of quick for some of our listeners that are out there, you know, how do you balance your family and business?
You know, I'll bring it down to two things. The first one is the commitment to it, that from the very beginning, I have always been absolutely 100% committed to keeping my family strong. And because of that, we have always looked at every business opportunity that comes our way as a, is this what's best for our family? Yes or no? And that determines whether or not we're doing it. So, you know, we've walked away, I think, from some really great opportunities career-wise, but they weren't in harmony with what we really wanted for our family. And right. I think there's sometimes fear around that, that we have to say yes to all the great opportunities that come our way, or maybe it's not going to work out. And just having that belief that if we'll really put our family first, that our business will thrive and flourish. I think that's number one. And then number two is definitely, I got to accredit my husband. So he and I run the company together and we run the family together. And, you know, I was talking about this recently with somebody, how I'm so grateful that I have a husband who has never looked at my success as in any way diminishing him, but that my light and my success enhances our family and enhances our relationship and enhances everything that we get to do together. And so we've never had that sense of competition with each other, that our dreams are in competition with each other, but just that, you know, I want him to be his best self. He wants me to be my best self. We both fall short frequently and we see each other through it and hold strong together. But I think it's really come from commitment and support. And, you know, we walk away from things that are not in the best good for our family, even if they would be really cool for business, and just have faith that something even better will come along.
And I bet it has, huh?
Yeah, for sure. It always does.
Now, really quickly, tell our listeners, like, what is it you do? Like, what is your focus when you help other business owners?
You know, I like to describe myself as a catalyst. So what I do is I come in and I look at where the business is at. I look at where you want the business to go. And I find the structural pieces that are missing. We plug those in and it accelerates the growth and just speeds up that progression. So some of the specific areas that we work in is marketing, sales systems. And if you're going, well, what's a sales system? That's what allows your business to be able to sell even when you're on vacation. So it could be a sales team or it could be an automated sales system, but creating some structure inside of your sales so it's not all falling on your shoulders as the business owner. And then we also work on strategic hiring and scalability and just getting your business ready to grow. But one of the things that is unique about us is I don't have a one-size-fits-all formula for business owners because I really believe that we each have individual outcomes we're trying to hit. And when we're looking at success, my company defines it in terms of four pillars. So the first is financial independence. The second is time freedom. The third is living in alignment with your personal values and beliefs. And the fourth is having really strong relationships. So as we're building business, we start out by defining what success looks like to you. And then we're trying to get you there. So, you know, transitioning into marketing, I'll have clients that will reach out and they'll say, hey, I've got this great opportunity. I'm looking at doing this. And I have some clients with really big, strong reach. So if they launch any marketing campaign, it's going to create a big flood of people. And I will tell them, absolutely not. Like, I don't recommend that at all. And they'll say, well, why? I think it will work. And I'm like, yeah, it works. And it's completely out of alignment with your core value of this. So right. I think you'll do it. I think it'll work. And then I think you'll hate it. But if you want to do it, that's cool. I'll support you in it. So I think we've got to be willing to look at our business and say there are a million different ways to bring in clients and so many different opportunities for how you can market. But your question is, what's going to take you to the outcome that you love? And will you actually love, you know, working with the clients that you bring in? Will you love running the marketing campaigns? Because if your business feels like drudgery, I think you're doing it wrong. It should be fun.
I agree. Like, it should be something that actually lights you up every day, not drags you down. If that's the case, I think it would just be easier to go get a job. Way less pressure to do stuff that you hate. Might as well do it with more security than trying to do a business where there's more freedom and more pain, right?
Right. And I don't know about you, but I've never had a boss like expect as much of me as I expect for myself. Mm-hmm. And my boss has also never told me that I should have worn two pairs of Spanx when I was speaking instead of one. So yeah, if we're not actually loving the journey, like definitely get a job, because working for yourself is not for the faint of heart. Like, it's definitely the brave path. It's the bold path, but it's not the easier path.
Yeah. You got to align your business with you and your family and your values. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take one of those pieces. Let's take marketing. Cause I know you have about like five different point, like mistakes that people are making in their marketing. And I know personally, I mean, marketing is like, I know they say sales lifeblood of the business, and I think that's true, but man, marketing is like the heart that's pumping the blood, you know, like you got to have that.
Mm-hmm. It's the flow. It keeps things flowing. And so sales is what puts food on the table and money in the bank, but marketing is what sets you up to be able to have that run smoothly without feeling like you're a stalker constantly on the hunt for the next kill, right? Like right. You got to hit that one. So, marketing makes business a whole lot more fun. And I have five mistakes that I see really commonly that I wish people would understand and kind of get beyond. So the first one is that they miss the target. And what I mean by that is they start with the product that they have in mind, and they try to market the product instead of starting with the client in mind and trying to speak to the client. And mm-hmm. Here's why this is different. So Chris, pretty much anybody could use your services that has a bank account and money and maybe some credit cards and wants to be planned for the future, but it would be better if they had a business, right? So that's very diverse. So right. If you go out and you say, that's the product I want to sell, and I'm going to market to anybody who can use that product, you could work with me. So I'm 38 years old for a couple more months. I have five kids. You know, I'm in the upper income bracket. I'm Caucasian. I'm Christian. And, you know, you can look at all of those demographics and you could see me, I could be a client, but you could also have somebody who is a 65-year-old man who's been working his whole life and is transitioning into retirement and needs to wrap up all of his loose ends and make sure that he's in place. You could also have somebody who is a 24-year-old millennial who is innovative and creative, and they want to build wealth, but they want to build it really quickly, and they don't want to pay the high price that the 65-year-old paid to get there. And so you'll never reach all three of those people in the same marketing campaign. And if you try, what you'll end up doing is creating a campaign that doesn't really speak to anybody. It doesn't make them stand up and say, yes, this is exactly what I've been looking for. So we need to understand that the target isn't the product we're selling and we're marketing the product. The target is the person that we're attracting, and we're messaging to them and we're speaking to them. And if you'll do it that way, you know, you're not going to run one campaign that attracts in everyone, but you can run one campaign that attracts in a segment of your client base and attracts them really well and really successfully.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'd say that's probably number one.
Yeah. And I love that too, because some people say get into a niche, but what you're saying is you can have different niches, but you have to make sure you're speaking to each one differently. And I like that.
Yeah. So I don't like my clients to try to market to everyone under the sun, but I do find that it's helpful to have a primary avatar and a secondary avatar and a third avatar. So the primary avatar is who you want the most business from. The secondary avatar is usually somebody who it's simple business. The business that they bring you is similar to the business that you would do for avatar number one. It's maybe not where your passion is or where your focus is, but it creates some stability and consistency. And then the third avatar is usually somebody who can get you connected with your first or second avatar.
Right.
So I don't like them to market to everybody, but let's be clear that we're not going to, like for me, my third avatar is somebody who runs a platform for entrepreneurs that I can plug in with and share my message and get connected to more of my ideal client. And so they're not going to have the same, they don't need the same messaging as the client that I'm trying to help them with their marketing, sales, and their structure. You know, it's just a different conversation, different message.
That's awesome. I love it.
Okay. So number two is going to have to do with the marketing budget. So the marketing budget gets spread a little too thin. You, in general, you want your marketing budget to be somewhere between 7% and 15% of your total revenues. Now, if you are in a massive growth phase or you're launching something new, it may go above that. But in general, that's kind of where you want it to sit. And if you are, because I'm a big proponent of what I call the 7-point marketing plan. And so if you're doing seven different things to bring leads into your business and you're trying to do a little money here, little money here, little money here, little money there, you feel like you go through that money too quickly. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at your campaigns, balance them out. Out of your seven, maybe choose one or two that are going to be spends, you know, where you put some dollars behind. Maybe choose a couple that are low cost and then make the rest of them be free. So that way you have the substantial chunk of money to invest in that really great opportunity that comes your way. I was with a client recently and they are a consultant for orthodontists. So we were at a great big huge ortho conference and those booths cost $6,000 to $10,000. Yeah. And it was full of vendors. But you know what? It's because those vendors, that was exactly their room where they find their clients and they get the majority of their business. Like they right. feed their business off of those events. So while that's a big spend, when you consider the cost per lead, that's a big spend. They have the money there because they're not trying to spread it equally across everything that they do. So you do have to be strategic about where you're spending. Otherwise, what happens is, especially with small business owners, you know, if you're doing under 100,000 a year, 7 to 15% of that is really not much. You don't have a lot to play with. And so what they do is they're not strategic about where they're spending. And then they always feel like there's all these great ideas. I'd love to do this, but I just can't afford it. You can if you are only spending in a couple places.
Right. You know, I've seen that a lot with business owners, especially as they get started, and especially those in the coaching space. I mean, I keep getting after people because they sometimes they'll just throw dollars at everything. And even when they make some extra money, they throw it at whatever. They're like, okay, I'll just try this. Like, no, you got to be more strategic. You got to actually be a little bit more calculated about what's going to be the real ROI on this, not just because you have the money, but because it's actually going to return back to you quickly.
You know, new business owners, they get a little bit of their ego stroked by invitations. And they're like, oh, they just invited me to go do this. I'm like, they're a salesperson. That's what their job is. You know, like I've had clients, I just got invited to be on TV. It's going to cost this much. I'm like, that's not an invitation. It's a sales pitch. So we need to be really strategic. And I'm not saying no, but I'm saying, let's sit down and look at it. Let's run the numbers. Let's look at the budget and see if it actually makes sense.
Yeah. I had a mentor who used to say, don't fill your ego, fill your bank account.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because there's so many invitations that will come your way, and it's really about timing. Is it the right time for this?
Right. I totally agree. What's number three?
Okay, number three is too little marketing. So they're just doing too few things. So they're attending networking meetings and they get word of mouth business. Or I hear that a lot. What do you do for marketing? Oh, it's mostly word of mouth, but I also attend some networking meetings. I'm like, okay, so not enough. That's what I'm hearing. Or they'll say, you know, I'm doing social media and I am doing this. And so usually most business owners, they kind of settle into a couple of things. And what happens is they have all their eggs in one basket or one or two baskets. And if that basket doesn't work out, then their business is all of a sudden in trouble. So I've been to the networking meetings where you show up and you're like, hey, can you tell me where the networking meeting is? And they're like, oh, it's over there. And you go, cool, those two people. Okay, let's go network with two folks, you know, right. I've been to those and sometimes plan A doesn't work. And if you don't have enough to start with, then that's very stressful. I have had several clients in the last year that have reached out because they were using Thumbtack and Home Advisor to get all of their business through. Well, both of those platforms in the last year and a half changed the way that they distribute leads. It used to be that you paid them per client you acquired, and now they're charging per lead they send you. So the cost of a new client has quadrupled. And these business owners have had no marketing outside of that. So sometimes it's not even that, you know, it just didn't underperform. It's that somebody else changed the rules because they own the platform. So I found seven is the magic number. If you have seven different lead generation strategies that you employ and space out throughout the year, you're always going to be okay in your business, because if one thing is not performing well, you can turn up the volume on something else and you always keep your business in lead flow and you just never run out.
It's true. I mean, there's a lot of people that, especially with social media, a lot of people become dependent upon that. But the question is, what would happen if Facebook shut down? What would be your next thing? How would you get to the people or get to, you're trying to reach? for some people, that would be the death of their business.
Absolutely. Well, and here's the other thing, more likely than Facebook shutting down, what if they shut you down? I just saw a post about this recently. Somebody had a big group and Facebook shut their group down. They lost all the people, all the data. They hadn't built an email list. Mm-hmm. And that was the way that they were doing their business. Now, I don't know what they did to get it shut down or what happened. So I'm not trying to say Facebook is the big bad wolf. I'm just saying, if you don't own anything on Facebook, Facebook owns it. So if you, you know, and a lot of our marketing today is moving that way, right? Like Google really controls who sees your website. Like LinkedIn, you don't own those contacts. Facebook, you don't own those contacts. So a lot of the places that we are marketing, it's really in somebody else's hands. So you need to be diverse. Otherwise, you've got all your eggs in one basket. And if you drop that basket, there's no more eggs, which is problematic. So we want to keep business flowing.
Oof, that's a big one. All right, number four.
That's a big one.
What's the fourth one?
Fourth one is an incomplete campaign. So they have, and I hear this a lot, people say, well, I've tried webinars or I've tried vendor booths. But the problem is they did try it, but they tried it with missing pieces to the puzzle. So before I ever launch a campaign or before I ever push play on any of my clients' campaigns, what we do is we look through to the point of sale. So we look at where they're starting, we look through to the point of the sale, and we figure out everything that needs to happen in order to get them there. So there's five basic steps that it takes to get a marketing campaign to work. The first one is your marketing materials. So I just launched a new marketing campaign. We built two landing pages. We designed a new logo. We had to write sales copy. We had to write reach out scripts. We built some campaigns. You know, there was a lot of materials that we created for that. Created a new webinar presentation, and then had to tweak it a couple times on all of the above to make it get to the point where it was converting and working. Mm-hmm. And that's just the first step. And sometimes people just get lost in that and they don't realize all of the other pieces. So the second part is your visibility strategy. Who's going to see it and how are they going to see it? And how are you going to get a lot of people seeing it? Because it does take a lot of people seeing your marketing for it to work. The third is, how are you going to capture the leads? You need a name, email, and phone number. And you may not get all of those at once, but you need a strategy for how you're going to get those. And the fourth is your lead nurture. How are you going to build a relationship with those people? Because a percentage of them will purchase right off the bat. But the majority of them, they're going to need a little bit of nurturing and engagement and connection before they're ready to purchase. And then the last piece is the sales experience. So, you know, there's not a lot of different ways to sell. You can sell through a landing page. You can have a one-on-one conversation. You can have an in-person meeting. You can do a pitch to a board of decision makers. You can, I feel like I'm missing something, have a live event. But, you know, there's not really that many ways to sell. And sometimes people forget that they have to create a sales experience for conversion to happen. And they just think if they just continue to acquire leads and then nurture and drip and drip and drip and drip that, you know, people are going to start raising their hand, but they might. I mean, they might, but I'll tell you, my email list has always way outperformed sales what the national averages are. I mean, my first year in business, we had a list of 2,500 people and we did 110 in sales. And it was because I did not wait for them to get dripped on long enough that they decided they wanted to buy from me. We actually created sales experiences. So if you want to increase that, you got to make sure you take it through to the end.
That's absolutely.
And just make sure there's no holes. You know, if there's a hole in place, it's obviously you're going to lose people. They'll fall out the hole.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've even had to, hopefully this is not the fifth point, but this might go with, you know, the marketing aspect too, or incompleteness. But I mean, there's a lot of people have said like, Chris, like, I'd like to see more emails from you. You know, like, well, yeah, I sent out one this month or two. And, and it's funny because like, whenever people like unsubscribe, they say, I get too many emails. Like, well, obviously not for me, you know,
yeah,
you probably are in general, but it's unfortunately it's not for me. It probably should be more. So you even know who the heck I am, you know, but that's kind of how
it goes. Let's just take a little short email marketing tangent. This will be quick.
understand, you got to understand the way email marketing works. If you're in a very specific campaign, I do have one campaign right now that's a very specific group, and it's got a 44% open rate. But if I'm sending blasts to my email list, that open rate is between 8% and 12%, depending on if I got a real kick butt header. So when you send these out, they're going to the promotions folder in Gmail, right? The majority of the people are not seeing every email. So if you're sending once a week, they're probably seeing and reading once a month. So if you're sending once a month, they're probably missing it. So we want to just make sure that we're understanding that it's not about over emailing or annoying people. It's about the fact that Gmail is making it harder for them to see your communication. And so you've got to be more consistent if you want them to actually feel nurtured and feel like they're hearing from you.
Correct. Absolutely. Great point. And then what's the fifth and final one for marketing mistakes?
Too little planning. So it's the last minute nature where they look at their month and they're like, shoot, we need some leads. Okay, well, what can we throw together real quick? And then they throw something together real quick and it's not as good as it would have been with proper planning. Mm-hmm. And also, it's not going to create sales for you that month. If I could tell the listeners one thing that they should write down and star and put a smiley face by or a frowny face, depending on if this makes you happy or sad, a gap in marketing today is a gap in sales in 6 weeks to 3 months, depending on how long your sales cycle is. So a gap in sales today is, or gap in marketing is a gap in sales. So if you don't have your year planned out in advance, you're going to be throwing mud up against the wall and seeing what sticks. You're going to be putting campaigns together more quickly than they should be. So they'll get less results than they could have. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, can I just do 90 days? Nope. Because on average, if you're going to launch a new marketing campaign, it's going to take you 3 weeks on the shortest of short side and more like 6 weeks on average to get it up, tested, working. So if you're only planned 90 days in advance, you're still only working on what's right here, right now, and you can't see what's coming down the pipeline. And I have had meetings where I'm looking ahead and all of a sudden I'll go, oh guys, we got a gap in March and it's November. That gives us time to fix the gap. And maybe we had something planned, but then it got canceled or, you know, it fell off the books or whatever. But I need to know that ahead of time so I actually have time to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So planning ahead, it will make it so much easier to run your marketing as well, because you won't feel like you're a slave to the marketing. You know, it's always telling you, you have to do this, have to do that. You'll be able to look ahead and say, all right, so we're going to do a little here. We're going to do a little here. We're going to make progress. And it just keeps things a lot more peaceful and moving more. It flows. It has a beautiful flow when it's planned well in advance.
I absolutely agree. It sure does. I mean, that's what I was just going to say. I'm like, right now, I'm like, if you're not already looking past New Year's, you're already too late. You know, if you're already, if you're thinking about Christmas, you're already in a rush right now. You know? Well, I love it. This is some really good stuff. And I'll tell you, like, even if somebody just implements a couple of these, that could seriously make a massive shift in their revenue and their cash flow. So Amy, if people want to learn more about you and get to know you more, how would they do that?
This is a great question, and I am going to tell you my favorite place to connect right now is actually on YouTube and LinkedIn. So on YouTube, our channel is called The CEO Spot, and it's a great resource. We create weekly how-to videos. We interview other business experts. We also show some of the behind the scenes of what it really looks like to balance business and family and, you know, growing both of those relationships at the same time. And then on LinkedIn, if you'll find me there, I post weekly articles, I post tips and videos. And if you'll send me a private message, I will actually send you a presentation that goes over not just what the problems are, but my step-by-step guide for how to fix them. So I'd love to just connect with you, and we'll keep it informal and personal. You can come check us out, see what we do. But if you send me a private message on LinkedIn, I would be happy to send you the presentation that shows you the step-by-steps of, if you're looking and going, okay, I have these problems, I would be happy to show you how to fix them.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll be sure to put that link in the show notes too, so people can get access to that. So thank you so much. This has been amazing. This has been great stuff. There's a lot of things
I know. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Yeah, I know there's things for me I could actually apply here too. So this is fantastic. So I appreciate this.
You're very welcome. And I think we all feel that way. Anytime we look at our marketing, it's always going to feel like a work in progress. Mm-hmm. But it just should feel like it's progressing. You know, it's okay to be a work in progress as long as it's progressing and it's getting better.
Well, thank you so much. This is great stuff. Everybody check out her YouTube and LinkedIn, whether you go there right now or you just go through the link. Either way, go check it out. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.